Well, we have been diving into Freedom Tools by Andy Reese. We did, he did do a revised and expanded edition, and Jennifer Barnett has helped him. So there's a little bit of extra in here. I've kind of tried to compare both my books a little bit. So there's some good stuff that's been added, but it's the skeleton is the same. So it won't throw my notes too far. Now, I want to just review real quick the 10 foundations. I gave you a little handout that just is kind of like a little cheat sheet or whatever. If you do want to get the book, I do have a few extra here. They're $12. But if you go on freedomprayer.org, O-R-G, you can also order them on there. That's their website for the ministry. All right, our 10 foundations. Number one, God is good, Satan is bad. Number two, your freedom is God's will. Number three, we have hidden enemies. And number four, our issues are not random. The enemy is just as intentional. Number five, there is always a reason, meaning there's cause and effect to things. So we want to look for the reason. And there's a concept of prisoners versus captives. Who can tell me what a prisoner is versus a captive? What's a prisoner? What's a captive? Yeah, see, let me get here. Let me get you a mic so we can get you on the recording. What's a prisoner versus a captive?
A prisoner is someone who's done something that has caused that person to be in jail or be in prison. A captive is taken because they haven't done anything. They've just been taken and put in a place.
Right. Yeah, like a POW or someone's been kidnapped. Oh, thank you. Look, we got the high-tech stuff going. Okay, yeah, there's the website right there. Thank you, Mike. Okay, and number seven, we are partners with God. He is the healer, just like in physical healing. He is the healer in emotional healing. So we are partnering with him. So there is no pressure on our part to have the answers. Is that not freeing? Think about it. It is just like with physical healing. Okay, we are not the healer. He is. We have an ear to Holy Spirit to be able, just like in the prophetic word that we want to release, we want to hear the Lord, we want to partner with him, but it's really not about us as ministers. It's really about bringing them and the Lord together, okay? So remember that when you're thinking about inner healing ministry, sometimes we can get a little worked up by not having the answers. No one is expecting you to be a trained counselor, okay? Know your limits, and you don't have to know it all, but this is all about leaning in on the Lord and letting him speak. You'll be asking the Lord questions as you're praying together, helping them to hear the Lord, which is the most powerful thing I think you can do, besides introducing them to Jesus in the first place, is having them learn how to hear him, okay? Man, if we all heard him more and better and clearer, right? Okay, so remember that. You are partners with God in this ministry. And we want to maintain a culture of honor as ministers. We want to honor the person in front of us right where they are. We don't make them go any faster or harder than they need to go. Again, it's not about us. It's just about that one thing that the Lord's going to highlight in that moment. So we want to honor them. Number nine, we want to apply God's solutions, not our solutions. Okay, so be careful about that. Be really careful about giving advice. Just be careful. Make sure it's from the Lord. And then number 10 is a reminder that there's an event and then there's a process. The prayer ministry time that you're praying with that person is an event. Okay, that's the freedom prayer. It's the event. But salvation, or rather sanctification, is a process. Okay, so we're not going to get all healed up and cleaned up in one prayer. Okay, so remember that. We may have different events where we can have aha and revelation and healing, but we are still being constantly and continually transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so it is a process. So remember that as well. Those are the foundations, and remember that you're going to come right back around to those foundations on a regular basis as nice reminders as we move in this ministry. Now, Who read Luke 15? All right, a couple of you did. Okay, so I gave you a little clue to just give a glimpse of Luke 15 because it's really great when you go back and review stories, especially when you start looking at it from a little bit a different angle, okay? Because we can look at those parables and go, oh yeah, I know that story. Okay, but it's really important if you go back and study it. So for those of you who read it, great. If you didn't, after we do this talk, you're going to want to go back and read it and look at it again. Okay, I'm not going to take the time to go through every little verse of those stories, but I want to talk about the WESUD, WESUD, is kind of our hint for how we can pay attention to what we're looking for when we're talking to a person. Okay, so we want to identify what the issues are because once we can identify the issue, then we can identify how we're going to apply the tool. Okay, how we're going to apply the prayer. How do we need to pray? What do we need to say? It's going to give us a bit of a roadmap. Okay, so the W stands for wounds. The E stands for entanglements. The S is sin. U is ungodly belief. And then the D is the demonic. And we'll go through each one of those. So the wounds is really represented by the lost coin, okay, story. And so I want you to think about the coin that was lost in the lady's house. It was lost through no fault of its own, okay? It was wounded. You could picture the coin if you could personalize the coin that was lost. You can be wounded by pain or trauma, abuse or neglect. I mean, the coin could have just fell out of a pocket. It could have, you know, just been left behind and, you know, then it gathers dust. And so, you know, it wasn't missed. So there's a lot of times where we or people will be like that coin that will get lost of no reason of their own. They just do and they get forgotten or whatever. So sometimes we get wounded. Being lost can be traumatic, and then that's where lies will be developed. But what's really interesting, he says in this book, he says, but a coin is imprinted with its value, and it has the image of the king on it. Isn't that great? Now, we have the image of presidents and stuff, but, you know, back then they had Caesar, you know, on it and stuff. And so I think that's really interesting when you think about us. We have imprinted within us innate value and the image of our God. We were created in his image. The other thing about the coin to think about is that it was usually made from a precious metal and it had value on its own. You didn't have to add anything to it. Like it has an actual value, okay, in and of itself. So the main issue is not what happened to the coin, basically, but what the coin believes about what happened. Okay, it's the lie that comes in. So let's say we get our feelings hurt by somebody. Somebody does something. Now, the pain is pain. I mean, we're all going to hurt. We're all going to get our feelings hurt, or we're all going to have some damage done in life. We're going to have sadness, okay? But when we're wounded, somebody does something to us, but it's not so much the trauma of what happened to us. It's what we believe about that event. I'm not loved, I'm not good enough, I'm rejected, I'm not worthy, right? It's how we are treated, it's what we believe about that. So our experience becomes our truth, even though it's not necessarily true, okay? Because it impacted us via experience. There's the woman in the story. I love how in each of these little stories, you'll identify the person, okay? Then you're gonna identify a character of God in it. And so in the story of the lost coin, there's the woman who is the Holy Spirit, who's searching out the whole place, brings the light of a lamp, shines light everywhere looking. What is that? That's like the revelation, right, of God, the wisdom and the truth of God. They sweep the house clean, removing filth and pain, finds the coin, which shows it is worth the effort. That is the whole point. She was looking for the lost coin. And then she rejoices over it with her friends and neighbors, right? So there's affirmation and restoration. So the primary ministry approach, when we think about wounding, when someone is wounding, we want to release any wound-based lies compassionately and gently. We want to help the person define the pain and the lies attached. We want to hear the truth and release or break the lie, help them speak forgiveness to a person, and to ensure that they know that they're also forgiven, especially if they responded in some way sinfully, okay? They may have some guilt or shame about it. And then we always end with blessing and affirming. Always ending with blessing and affirming, okay? All right, so that's wounded. So we want to look at wounds. Now, the lost sheep parable helps us look at entanglements and what an entanglement is. So in this example, it was a sheep that wandered from the flock for whatever reason. There are lots of reasons why a sheep might wander from the flock, okay? Might be temptation, might be curiosity, might be offense. It could be a lot of different things, but they wandered away, and they got lost and confused, and for whatever reason, they were unable to return. But they also had become unaware that there's a lion out there, roaming to and fro, seeking to whom he will devour. Remember what I said? When the sheep is away from the flock, it's very susceptible. So he's going to pounce, right? But Jesus is the good shepherd. And he knows that sheep is lost and wandering, and he sees the value for that sheep, that he leaves the 99, goes after the one that's lost, he searches for it, and here's what's fascinating. He places the lost sheep up on his shoulders. So Andy says in the book, he takes the weight or guilt upon himself without recrimination. That's our shepherd. Then he rejoices with friends, affirms and restores. The lost sheep is now found. Note, he doesn't blame or shame the sheep. The entanglement did the teaching and the warning all by itself. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So, some examples of emotional spiritual entanglements are ungodly soul ties, binding self vows, false covenants or agreements with darkness, self or any external curses, generational inequity, unforgiveness and any of its consequences, dabbling in the dark side of life, any of those kinds of things, you know, can be an open door, if you will. So your primary ministry approach is going to be that we want to break the authority of that entanglement, okay? So we've got to recognize and frame the nature and the source of that entanglement or of that agreement. We have to help them break agreement with it, let Jesus take it on and bear it, exchange it with the truth and right agreement with God, meeting any legitimate need in that area. Then bless and affirm, always bless and affirm at the end. Remember where it talks about there in number four, often there's a deeper revelation concerning the need that the sin was supposed to meet. A lot of times in entanglement, like I said, there's a legitimate need being met in an illegitimate way. Okay, so there was a false thing that they were looking for, and that what opened the door up. That's what got them involved in that issue. But there is a legitimate need sometimes. And so we want to pay attention to what that could be, what opened themselves up. We've got to break agreement, and then we come into right agreement with the Lord. All right? Now, the third story is focused on the prodigal son story. Fourth and fifth is actually about the prodigal story, but the third one is the prodigal son, whereas the fourth will be the older brother. So with the prodigal son himself, we're looking at sin. The son openly rebelled, lived in sin, and then suffered torment. He lost his senses, okay? He went farther than he planned, stayed longer than he wanted, and it cost him more than he could afford. It ruined him. But then he came to his senses. Here comes repentance, okay? He repented on the inside, and then in the story, he took steps to come home. And the minute he started heading home, the father ran to him. Okay? In a day and age when men didn't run at that time, except to war. So the story said, you know, he had girded his gown around his waist and then took off running. I'm thinking the son sees the father coming and go, I'm a dead man. You know what I mean? But no, instead, the father is running, pounces on him, embraces him, hugs him, kisses him, loves on him. Okay, that's all he needed was for him to turn and head home. The father ran to him, covered him, which takes away his shame, gave him a ring, restored his sonship, put sandals on his feet, which restored his purpose, and then rejoiced over him with his friends and family, affirming and restoring him again. Do you notice a theme at the end? Again, there's always a party. God-like celebration. So our primary ministry approach when we're dealing with sin is confession and the repentance of sin. We have to, that is a prime component. We want to help them recognize the sin and come to an awareness about what it really is. And this is where we want to circle right back around to the foundation of the culture of honor. This is not about judgment or condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ. Okay? So help them recognize it, come to awareness, to confess and repent, and then receive the forgiveness and restoration. And then we want to bless and affirm them. Please make sure they receive the forgiveness. A lot of times we declare a confession, we ask for forgiveness, but we don't always follow through with, and I receive your forgiveness. It's one thing to ask. It's like, you know, having a request, but then not getting it. You know, no, we want to follow through with the receiving. I confess this, and now I receive your forgiveness. And we want to bless and affirm. All right, number four, ungodly beliefs. That's the older brother. He seemed like the perfect son. But in actuality, he was more like a slave, unable to come into intimate relationship with his father and enjoy his inheritance because of his performance orientation. He was a striving performer. He did not know the Father or believed things about both himself and the Father that were false. The Father came and addressed three main issues of ungodly belief. His false belief about himself and his relationship with Father God. His false belief about his own lack of intimacy with the Father. The Father said, "You've always been with me." And then his perceived inability to own and enjoy his inheritance. The father said, all mine was yours. Remember when he divided the inheritance, because the younger son asked for it, he divided the inheritance. It was given. He didn't take ownership of it. He didn't have an understanding or a belief about his identity or the father's. The father completes restoration by inviting him, I love this, inviting him to stand with him side by side, and welcoming his younger brother at the party. This would be a position of honor that he had needed all along, but could never believe that he could experience. That's his role. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ next to the right hand of the Father. We are co-heirs with Christ. When we heal wounding, we undo entanglements, we repent of sin, but still feel distant and unsatisfied. Ungodly belief is almost always the reason. Now, you can have ungodly belief without having had all those other things, just so you know. But I know lots of people who go through inner healing, and they're constantly looking for stuff, sometimes a little more navel-gazing than they need to. But oftentimes, if they go, check, 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 done that, and I'm still not feeling, there's probably an ungodly belief in there about you or about the Lord, okay? So our primary ministry approach is to understand the lies. We got to figure those out first, and then renounce them to the truth. Help a person recognize their ungodly beliefs that interfere with their relationship with God and their inability to receive from him. We want them to receive revelation about the truth, renounce lies, then declare truth, and then restore, affirm, and bless at the end, okay? So the reason why it says it kind of spelled out, it almost sounds like it's repeating the same thing over and over. It's not. I want you to really look at that. First, we have to recognize that there's an ungodly belief that is interfering with the relationship. Okay, that would be a first step. We have to actually know what the truth is then in order to replace and renounce the lie. But then notice that other one. We talked about words and how words have power. We have to declare the truth. So when we're breaking an agreement with an ungodly belief, we then have to declare what the truth actually is. It's how we, you know, break agreement here and join in this agreement, is to declare the truth. Because an ungodly belief can have a great deal of power. We've got to be able to declare the truth and declare it. Okay, so that would be the part of the we said where we're looking for four main kinds of issues that we're looking at that would show up. And so when you're doing your interview or you're talking with somebody or someone just decides to open up and share with you because they're coming over to your house or whatever and you just start a conversation or you go to the grocery store or you're at Starbucks or whatever, you know, any or a family member or a friend is just calling you up and saying, I got a problem or whatever. You know, sometimes it's just life happens stuff. But sometimes it's going to be, you're going to start seeing those four things pop up. Is this out of wounding? Is this out of an entanglement, you know, an unintentional thing? Is this out of sin? Is this out of an ungodly belief? And then how do we walk them through, okay, being able to find their deliverance and healing? Now, they do mention the D because, and I love how he puts this, you know, we do have to recognize that we have hidden enemies. Remember, that's our foundation number three. So demons are addressed in this manner. We never assume that their presence is within somebody. We certainly don't say it out loud because it's usually never helpful. Now, we do assume that there is influence in the situation, even if it's not addressed head on. In most cases, and this has always been my analogy, the flies will leave when the garbage is taken out. Okay, so we don't have to name the fly and where did the fly come from and blah, 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 blah. In my personal opinion, that's not really very effective, okay? Because now the person is what? Believing that they have a demon and, oh, well, that's just more powerful than me, right? Or, oh, I can't get free. Well, that's because I got a demon. No, please don't do that, okay? And that's really, really abusive, quite frankly. So in this process, remember, we're looking at really basic tools to enter into conversation and loving people in their heart of hearts, okay? And we're going to go into more details. We're just now just skimming the surface, kind of, okay? We're going to be repeating and looking at these layer upon layer, so don't think you got to know it all right now. We're introducing the concept, and then we're going to go a little further so that very much like when we did some of the other training, we'll do some activation and stuff too. Baby steps, though, because I don't want you to get overwhelmed, because sometimes just thinking about it, we get overwhelmed, because this is inner healing. This isn't like hurt elbow. Well, I can't heal a hurt elbow either, you know, so let's just remember that. Where did I go? Okay, so the primary approach to ministry, if we think that there's some demonic going on, again, we know that there's some hidden enemies, then we just very simply, we rebuke and we cast away. So find any reasons why the demonic might be present, okay? You can ask the Holy Spirit that. Remove those reasons, whatever those reasons are, which would be usually those four things we just talked about, okay? You shut those doors to those kinds of areas. You assert authority over the demonic to remove it, and then you fill the place that was vacated with truth and blessing. So remember in the physical healing when we felt that there was a manifestation that would show up if pain increased when you're praying versus leaving, or if it moved to another part of the body? You know, it's like you spot them, then you got them kind of a thing, remember? That's when our prayer would change to then rebuke that spirit of infirmity and cast it out. Do you remember that? We were no longer just praying for healing at that point. We were able to identify there was a demonic thing happening there and there was a manifestation of it. So the same thing will be taking place if you're doing this. Again, you can just hear Holy Spirit. Sometimes he will give you discernment about what might be attached, a spirit of fear, for example. Someone struggling with fear, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. Sometimes it's not just the emotion of fear or out of wounding or out of trauma. It could be a spirit attached. And so, you know, if you don't know for sure, you can still pray it. You know, I rebuke that spirit of fear to leave. You know, a spirit of heaviness when it comes to depression, you know, because you just feel bound. Or, and you can, whatever language the Lord wants to give you for that, whatever that, a spirit of depression, a spirit of sickness, a spirit of whatever it is, okay? Like, it you don't have to, like, actually, like, know its name. You hear what I'm saying? It's kind of like those ministries that are like, tell me your name. Why would I expect the demon to tell me its name? I get Jesus did that for the legion thing, but he actually wasn't talking to the demon. He was talking to the person. He was trying to talk to the person and say, what's your name? And the legion spoke, okay? So he wasn't technically trying to talk to the demon. And how do you know they're going to tell you the truth anyway? They're liars. So it's like, there's no point. You hear what I'm saying? So it's like, you're wasting your breath. You know, you talk to the person in deliverance ministry in the same way in physical healing that we talked about that, remember? That same model that we had for physical healing or manifestation. It's the same thing. We talk to the person, not the demonic. We exercise authority over that in Jesus' name, and we just tell it to leave, and we focus on the person. So it's the same thing, okay? And I'm really trying to make those comparisons since we just walked through that physical teaching, the physical healing teaching, and the prophetic ministry, because there's a lot of similarities in just kind of the standard protocol, if you will, just a right approach. So you'll be able to have that as extra support of, oh, what do I do next, you know. Okay? So any questions about those? The we said, remember, this is just kind of our lens for what category is the issue in. Okay? You following me? We all good? Okay, wonderful. All right. Now, the fruit loop is what they describe as the process that we'll be going through as we're praying for a person. So it's just another way to have kind of a little tool, a checklist, or a skeleton of a checklist to be able to walk through the prayer part when you're praying with them. And so there's the fruit, root, boot, loot, scoot. So it's just an easy way to kind of remember that. So the first thing is the fruit. What's going on? That's the we said. Okay, what's going on? We're looking at negative fruit here. There's negative things showing up. What's the fruit of all of this? And that's where you look at the we said to try to figure that out, okay? And then the root. That's the next question. Where did it come from and why? Okay, so again, we're still looking. The we said can still help if we're trying to figure that. Where did it come from? Why did it come from? It's just like the interview process when we're talking about the physical thing. Remember when we had asked, well, when did this happen? How long did it happen? How long have you had it? You know, those kinds of things. These are just ways to begin to help you dig for where's the root of it. It's kind of like I always talk about the garden. You know, if you've got a weed and you just cut it, it's going to grow again, okay? And you actually just made the root stronger, technically, okay? So if you don't pull it at its root, you're not really getting rid of it, okay? You can mow the weeds and think it's going to blend into your grass, but it's not. You're just making it stronger and making it spread, actually, okay? Like you have to dig to the root of it to really pull it out. So same thing here. So the next is the boot. We want to clear out the problems. We want to kick out whatever is going on. We want to boot it, okay? We want to renounce the lie or break the agreement, confess the sin. Then loot. After we boot it out, we want to take back what was stolen, okay? This is where the blessing comes, or this is where we ask the Lord to reveal truth instead of the lie, okay? This is where we want Holy Spirit to fill any vacated place if it was the demonic. Does that make sense? And what's the godly belief or the truth versus the ungodly belief? And then scoot, how you make life choices or changes. Like this would be the bless and declare. This would be, again, more truth or revelation of how do we walk this out now? Okay, so if it was a sin issue, then it's a little bit more obvious. You know, well, we don't want to do that anymore, so what are we going to be doing instead? How do I then continue? How do I walk the next step out? Okay, so now I'm free. Now what? You know, I just broke agreement with that negative thing. Now what? Well, we've got to start practicing and rehearsing declaring truth. You know, being able to find a scripture or a chapter or whatever, you know, that we can kind of replace the lies with the truth or our identity. Okay, so that's the fruit loop. That's the process. So it's just another little tool to kind of help you be able to go, okay, well, while I'm talking with the person or praying with the person, is there a part that I've left out? Now, here's the thing. With the fruit loop, you don't necessarily have to go in sequential order, okay? You don't have to necessarily go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you're just going to have a conversation with somebody. You're going to have a prayer. If it's a more intentional prayer time where you're doing more the listening prayer thing, you're just going to ask the Lord how he wants to do some of that. And then he may actually do it in a different order, okay? And so you'll be like, oh, yeah, well, we did this first technically. Well, let's make sure we cover that, you know. And so it'll just be a helpful reminder to kind of remember. So you may not necessarily go in that 5-step order, just so you know. Okay, and so then the phrase doing kingdom business means that is us executing business in the kingdom. This is us partaking in the Father's business, okay? Doing kingdom business is all about reversing the things that were done by using our heartfelt, and that's a key word, our heartfelt words spoken out loud. There's power in the spoken word, and then believed. Remember, you are not saved by just praying a prayer. You are saved by declaring with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart, right? And then you're saved. That's scripture. What did God do when he created everything? He spoke the world into existence. So there's the power of the tongue that speaks life or speaks death. Okay, so we want to be able to use the words, the spoken word. Oftentimes people will want to pray silently, and I strongly encourage them to say it out loud. To say it out loud and with authority so that they own it. And especially if they're a verbal processor, but even more so if even if they're not, you know, but to say it out loud. Another thing is that sometimes you can also recognize that the demonic is involved if they can't. If they can't say it out loud or if they can't speak, you know, and if they're trying, then they, you know, that might be a red flag or a clue, you know, to begin to pray in that regard. Okay? So those are the, again, we just talked about these. These are kind of layers. This isn't a brand new thing, but this is the tools of what we just looked at, even with the we said with those four things. What did we actually do to do the kingdom business? That was where we talked about the primary focus of ministry. So if it's wounding, we have to work on forgiving. Okay, if it was the entanglement, or sin, we have to confess and repent any of your own sin or break any false alliances or covenants. We have to renounce any false beliefs about myself and God if it's an ungodly belief. And then if it's demonic, there's the casting away darkness and its representatives. Does that make sense? So it's just another way to say when we're actually doing those things, that's what we're calling doing kingdom business. Okay? And we'll be walking through all of those, you know, as you're walking through the process. We're using the we said to identify the issues, but then the fruit loop is kind of your checklist. That's your, like your five-step prayer model kind of a thing to know, okay, well, did we look at the fruit? Did we figure out where it came from? Did we boot it out? Did we loot and replace it with something good? Okay, did I confess the sin and then replace it with some truth? And then the last one, to scoot, what would be the life choices or the blessing or the changes or things that we want to affirm? Okay, so any questions about that? This is just basic, like I said, basic introduction to these are your primary tools when you're talking with somebody that has some issues and they're sharing with you some stuff in their life, then you can know how to pray for them. Okay, and we'll talk about the actual prayer parts in the next week or two as well. This is just the intro to that. Any questions? Yeah.
Intertwined.
Sure, you can have more than one.
Good, because I think I've got all of them. I already had all of them at one time. I mean, yeah. I can feel myself in a lot of this stuff, and life gets complicated, and I can feel mm-hmm. that when I had a wound, that would make me get into entanglements that I didn't need to do, and then maybe mm-hmm. get into, you know, doing some dark stuff, and I did. So there's, so untangling that.
Right, and so you would go through each one.
Where do we go? You know, I guess we have to listen and ask the Lord which mm-hmm. one comes first. What do we have to get first?
That's exactly right. And that's the most important thing when we're going to go through the actual prayer time. The thing that you want to think about is even if you can identify everything in the we said and you figure out all five are there, okay? You could just walk them down the little checklist, but that may not be the way the Lord wants to do it. Okay? And just because I have an answer doesn't mean I'm supposed to give it to you. Okay? So I have to ask the Lord, is this what you want me to say? What are you wanting to bring to them right now? And it's not me hearing the Lord necessarily to tell them what they need to do next. The next thing would be, Jesus, will you tell Penny what you want to do about that? What would be, what's the area that you've got your finger on right now, Lord, that you're highlighting? Okay? And the whole point is to see what she hears, to see how Holy Spirit directs, and then you're going to co-discern what you feel like Holy Spirit is saying or what feels true, Okay, and that's going to be part of the discerning, the character of God, the heart of God. And this is why you have to be a person of the word, okay? Because it cannot be a subjective voice in the sense that, you know, I mean, you have to know the Lord. You have to know the word to be able to discern if it's the Lord, right? If it's true, if it's his character, if that's what he's wanting to do. So you want to be really, really careful. In the same way that we talked about hearing the Lord, there's a little bit of risk involved because we, I mean, you know, that's where we test out the spirit. And so we have to be able to agree, okay? Both the person that's facilitating the prayer person, as well as the person receiving the prayer. We want to be able to discern if that's the Lord, okay? And that's why we want to keep it really simple, okay? And so we just ask Jesus. We just ask Jesus what he wants to do, even if there's all five of those things. There are some inner healing ministries that will take you through a long checklist. I'm talking 500 questions. They're going to go through every generational curse you can think of and every, you know, possibility of sin and every possibility of, and it's extremely thorough. And I'm not knocking it. Like, I'm glad someone did the research and wrote it all down. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it is effective for some people to walk through that. I also know, though, having been from that heart sink model that we'll talk about later on, we talked about it a little bit this summer when I talked about the divided heart. Remember how our heart can divide and we're kind of like function mode, and we're like guarded guardian mode, and then there's the emotional part of us, right? Well, a lot of the time, if we're in function mode, we can go check, 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 prayed that prayer, check, did that, check, 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 and never access the emotional part of our heart, where all the wounding is at, where all the real trauma is. And so then people are like, well, I did it all and I'm still dealing with it. It's still here. I've done everything I know to do. Do is the clue. Do. Okay, well, what about being with the Lord? And what place are we guarded or, you know, or disconnected? Or are we actively, you know, what's the mindset of each of these parts? And that's why I love HeartSync in terms of an inner healing ministry, because it's a great framework in terms of that place of looking at all of those parts of your heart. And we will do a training on all of that another time. But this, I love this because this is a basic introduction to these tools, because not everybody is going to want to be trained to be an inner healing prayer minister. Okay, and have more training and understanding and prayer and want to dedicate that as a part of their ministry. But just like I think every believer, even to the five-year-old, can prophesy, can pray for healing. These are basic tools, a little bit more complicated for a five-year-old child, but they're basic tools to be able to say, well, then how do we pray with them? How do we pray with them? How do we identify what's going on? You know, that we could talk about it and say, well, you know, well, God says that's sin. And if you repent and if you see it in that way and you're sincere in that and you confess that, this is what he's actually saying. Well, oh, well, that's an ungodly belief. That's not God. And that's not who you are, you know. But if you're stuck in that belief set, right, like the Lord's personality or character has been tainted, let's go back to foundation one. If you don't think he's good, then you're believing a lie. You know, he's for you. He's not against you. He's not the one doing this stuff to you. That's an ungodly belief. And some people have a hard time shaking those ungodly beliefs. Yes, let me get you a mic so we can hear you on the recording.
So this looks different in the different settings. Mm-hmm. Me and I have done the training with Andy Reese over at Crossbridge. He was here probably a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. And she's a school nurse, so she interacts with teachers and then interacts with children. So in those settings, it looks a little bit different. The other day I was in my office and my good friend came in and we were sitting down and we were talking about marriage, and I was just kind of being a little bit of a mentor to him. And he all of a sudden said something about fear of failure. And I looked at him and said, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. I said, I know you. That is not of you. When did that start? So it's not a checklist. It's a conversation.
Right. Lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. It's mm-hmm. And it is very relational. Now, you can get into ministry settings where you set out the two-hour block of time and we do some things. Or it's that one-on-one and you hear something that's out of character for the person that you know, and it's out of character according to the Word of God over that person as well. And it's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, and it's very cathartic for that individual because, one, you've loved on them, mm-hmm. you've honored them, and then you've edified them in the end. In regards to something that you were talking about, demonic and all that, there's another gentleman, Dr. Charles Kraft, he says, take out the garbage, you get rid of the rats. Mm-hmm. So basically, you get rid of the stink, what's drawing or attracting that element, and then you've weakened that element, and then there is no damage, there is no fight, there is no struggle, there is none of that negative element of setting aside, putting away, casting out on the other end of it.
Right. Remember that the enemy is a legalist. God is not. But what's great about the enemy being a legalist is that he actually follows, like, law. He kind of puts himself in a trap there. Because once he no longer has legal right, he has to go. Okay? And so when we pay attention to, well, where does he have legal right? Well, sin, you opened up a door. There's an ungodly belief, there's an open door. Or you dabbled in this, so there's an open door. Okay, well, when you shut all of those doors, then you can say, okay, we confess that sin. We've broken that agreement. We've made that renouncement. Now you have to leave. And that's where we cast out, okay? And so that's why exactly what Mike was saying is we want this to be lifestyle. This is not just those, you know, times when we're going to have an inner healing team where we might set aside an hour or two to be able to pray with people intentionally about things. And there may be times where you can do that. You know, there are some times where I'll have people over and we'll jump right into it and, you know, we're having dinner or whatever and we might talk and we might go there. But what Mike said was really powerful because this is the same thing. It's just like when you're at the grocery store and you're talking to somebody and you see them limping and you're like, well, what'd you do? And you're having conversation, you're loving on the person. Well, do you mind if I just pray for you? You know? Or you can declare and decree something over somebody when you're having conversation. You know, like I said, a friend calls you up on the phone and just wants to talk with you because they know you love Jesus and, hey, I need you to pray for me because I'm really having a rough time. Okay. Well, let me pray for you. Well, let's just pray and ask Jesus about that. Jesus, what do you want to tell us about that? You know, and to discern his voice. And the person you're praying with or talking to may not, you know, want to go into that, you know, time of prayer or whatever necessarily. But that is kind of the key of the freedom tools is to be able to, again, hear the Lord and have them pray. But sometimes you can just do that very thing that he was talking about and say, wait, oh, you're my friend and I love you. And that is an ungodly belief. Or, that's not true. Like you said, where did that come from? When did you first start doing that? That's not who you are. Or, you know, when you're in a funk and you're just venting and you are so not yourself and you just say stuff, nobody else gets in fights or gets a little, have a bad day where you're not yourself. Remember what I said? When your heart gets divided, you sometimes act like not yourself. Because yourself is usually your function mode, very guarded and put together and knows how to take care of business, but you're not always in your emotion. That's why we don't always like our emotion, because it makes a mess of things. It's a little dramatic. Acts like the toddler throwing a tantrum sometimes, creates drama moments. Okay? You know, the joy part's fun, but when it's shame and fear or anger or pain and sadness, we don't always like that part of us. That's why we have to pay attention to our own heart. As we walk through this stuff, as we look at, Lord, highlight when that button gets pushed or when I get triggered, what comes out, okay? And especially if we can catch it with one another, we can catch it with friends who are opening up, with spouses. honey, am I telling you? I've told you all this before, I think. My husband catches me all the time. He's like, you would never let anybody else get away with saying that. Okay, you're right. You know, it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. But it's important because then that's how we iron sharpen iron. That's how we catch each other, right? Where especially as we're launching into life groups and things and we have small group community and sharing and or even just with friends and fellow believers and you have the ability to get intimate and you open up and you start talking about the stuff that's going on in your life and your hurts, right? Then we can pray for and catch some of those things sometimes and declare and decree and bless and then affirm and celebrate. God likes those happy things. That's what he wants. That's heaven, right? His will is always done in heaven. So that's how we bring heaven on earth. All right, so I wanted to spend, we've got about 20 minutes. I want to give you guys some time to chat a little bit, and we're not going to do anything heavy. I just want you to walk through, you've got the little handout, I want you to walk through, just start with the 10 foundations. If there's anything you want to share and talk about the 10 foundations, anything that either you think is great or that you might struggle with. But I specifically want you to look at the We Sud. And you do not have to share personal stuff, okay? We don't have to go there. But just begin to identify, you know, have you had any conversations with anyone lately? Don't name names, but just name the subject, okay? Don't call out whoever it was that has it. Let's honor, okay? But what would be some wounds that you've heard some people talk about recently? What may be some sin or ungodly belief that someone might be engaged in? And you can just identify what some of those things might be or opportunities that you're, you know, going to run into some of those situations. And so just to help each other highlight, oh, yeah, I was on the phone with somebody and they were sharing and yeah, there's some ungodly belief there, you know, and I didn't catch it, but I knew it was there, but I just didn't necessarily say anything. So Lord, now what do I need to do and how do I approach that person and love on them and maybe find a way to begin to share the truth of God? Does that make sense? Okay, so I just want you to gather up in like groups of three or four. And just kind of go over that. Just kind of talk through if there's anything about the 10 foundations. It's been about 5 or 10 minutes on that, not very long. But then I want you to identify what might be some of the We Sud. What would be the wounds, the entanglements? What would be some examples of those? I gave you generic examples, but you might think about some specific ones that maybe you might have run into in the last week. Okay, so before we break up, I'm going to pray so that after we do that, we'll be able to be dismissed. Father, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you for every heart here and every heart listening, Lord, that are pressing in for wholeness. Lord, we want to be wholehearted. God, we want to have that place of healing and understanding. We want to live sin-free, Jesus, because that is what you paid for. You paid for our freedom. Lord, you paid for those wounds to be healed. Lord, you paid that we would walk in truth and live in you, God. And so we want that. And so I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, that you just begin to minister to us and to help us to recognize what's going on in our own hearts and on those that are around us that we get the opportunity to love and minister to. We thank you, God, and I just release a blessing over each one now in Jesus' name. Amen.